If you like the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast, consider giving us your support on Patreon.
There we go. Hey, it's Buckass.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brendan.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
Yeah. Not for long. Shall we have some things?
Sure.
I'm going to take out my teeth.
Okay,
pardon my orthodontics. Don't crinkle it. Just open it.
Okay. Open it without crinkling
it. Open it without crinkling it. Be a man. Oh, don't do that. I have to edit that out later.
No, you don't.
No, I actually do, because it hurts the listeners' ears.
You've had how many complaints?
I've had so many complaints. They're all online.
So
this is being noisy. Get all the drinks out.
Farm Boy, white cheddar, and jalapeno popcorn.
What does that pair with? Lunenburg Canadian fruit beer?
That sounds pretty good. What else do you have in your bag of treats?
My bag of treats. I have McKinnon Brothers Wild Peppermint Stout.
Ooh.
Well, that was an ooh, so you want that.
Yeah. They haven't made their peppermint stout in a while. I tried it when they were first trying it out, and boy, was it ever pepperminty.
Are you wasting popcorn on the floor?
I dropped a single piece.
Maniac.
He's a maniac.
All right. What are we talking about this week? Okay, hold on. Let's just...
Well...
Yeah.
There's a bunch of things we've talked about in the past that...
Don't lean off camera.
But I have updates on.
Can you tie your hair back? Get your Japanese on. It's a dog. This is not going well.
No.
Do you want to get your dog out of here?
Yeah, I'll get my dog out of here. Come on, Howie.
Go in.
Yep. Here, have some popcorn.
Richard and the podcast dog.
There you go.
This is a wild podcast.
Charging animals and everything.
So, here's the video. It's going to take over the screen for a second. 3, 2, 1. Oh, no, I did that wrong. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. And they're going to watch it while we talk. It's like, how many seconds is it? 14 seconds?
Something like
10?
That.
That's probably enough time. That is a turtle in my car. You might be wondering, why do I have a at-risk species in my car? Well, I went out to my parking lot outside my office building, and I'm sitting there on my phone looking at nonsense because I got to go pick up my kid in an hour, and I see this turtle. I'm like, oh, it's going to get run over in my parking lot. So I get on my gloves, my turtle handling gloves. I get some cardboard because the turtle will go wee in your car. Put the cardboard in the front passenger seat. I go pick up the turtle. It didn't want to be picked up. I picked it up, put it in the car. I drove 1 kilometer, 0.6 of a... No, that's not right. How much of a mile is that? Two-thirds of a mile?
It's 1.6 kilometers in a mile, so...
Yeah, two-thirds of a mile. I drive two-thirds of a mile, or 1 kilometer, to like a big boathouse with like all the racing boats, like the rowing boats, like a rowers club. Because I can just like put the turtle there and it can go in the water easily. Anyway, I get there. I can't find the turtle. And I'm like... And this is like a turtle like this big, like maybe 9 inches, like shell, like, you know, from head to tail shell. Like it's a decent sized turtle. It's a red painted turtle. And I can't find it. I think, oh, it went under the seat. So I'm checking under the seat. Look at my fingers a bit. So I got my phone with the doing videos on my hands and knees. That's on my car. I'm moving the seat back and forth. I'm taking all the stuff out of the car and putting it in the trunk. I can't find this turtle. And I'm like, oh my God, I call my wife and people can hear me. And some dude comes over from the rowing club. Some like fat middle-aged dude. He's like, a little birdie told me you have a turtle in your car. He's really weird, like a weird uncle kind of character, you know? You're like, don't bless me. And, he's like, oh, do you have a turtle in your car? Well, I thought I had a turtle in my car, but like, I don't know. I called my wife. I'm like, honey, there's a turtle in my car. In our car, I lost it. It's in the car. Call me. So then I'm like, well, the hell with it. I'll just be Canadian and go to Tim Hortons. Let's crack him. Cilantro. Bink.
Cilantro?
Cilantro. That's what they do in Southeast Asia. Anyway, so I go to Morton's. I get a nice coffee. I'm like, ah. I thought maybe the turtle's like hiding up in the seat, like underneath the seat, and it'll come out after a little bit. So I call Richard on the phone. So I'm like, Richard, there's a turtle stuck in my car. And he's like...
So what I'm picturing is that Brendan has hit a turtle or was driving along and someone else hit a turtle and it got either it's lodged up underneath the car or it's gone flying through the air and become embedded in like his grill or something like that. But it's still alive. Turtles are tough.
Yeah. Anyway... I'm like, no. And I tell him the whole story. And he's like, oh, I'm like, so could, like, is there like a hole underneath the seat? Or like, could it get in somewhere? Like, you know cars really well. And Richard's like, oh, check under like the glove box, like under the front dash, like up at the wiring looms. Maybe it crawled up in the front. And I go, huh. And I do a lean. Like I look from the driver's seat. And this is like, you know, American-Canadian driving. So I lean like this. And I see like a tail and a foot. And I'm like... That little sneaky Pete. So I drive back to the exact same spot, and there's like all the boats have gone out now. So all the rowing club is like, remember that crazy fat man that thought he lost a turtle in his car? They're all out, like they're out on the water, and there's like two people left, just like having a coffee, iced coffee, drink, chilling out, having a cold drink. And I'm like, hey, they're like, hey, did you find the turtle in your car? I did. It was up in the wiring looms underneath the glove box. You're like, oh. Oh, this guy actually, they saw me take a turtle out of my car, and then and they're like, oh, he actually had a turtle in his car. Not a crazy person. So, and then with me, it's like, I looked for like 10 minutes and doing videos under my seat, and I couldn't find the thing, and I'm looking all around. I didn't check underneath there, because like, you kind of look there, I didn't really realize how far a turtle could get up underneath the dashboard. So I call Richard, and Richard's like, huh, did you check underneath the dash? That's it. And like, that's it. Like 15 seconds. He's like, solved it. So that was my turtley adventure. That's why the name of this episode is Brendan Lost a Turtle in His Car. It's a good name of an episode.
It is. It was the weirdest phone call.
Normally I call you and you're like, oh, that sounds like your starter motor died. Oh, that sounds like this problem happened.
Brendan pretty much only calls me when he's got an issue with his car.
And that one time I thought I saw your dog.
Yeah.
But it wasn't your dog.
Yeah.
I called Richard 10 minutes from... No. 5 minutes from your house down the country road. Richard! He said, hi, Brendan. Do you have your dog? Yes, I do. Okie doke. And you're like, are you on that road? I'm on that road. They also have a dog like our dog. Excellent. But yeah, I almost never call you on the phone. Normally it's a text.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know...
Or Facebook Messenger.
Aren't a text. So this was a white cheddar jalapeno popcorn.
It's really good.
It's really good, but it's not really jalapeno-y. It's like, it's more of a suggestion of jalapeno.
Yeah. Hint of jalapeno.
That's kind of how food is in Canada. They're like, spicy. Oh, it's a little...
It's a hint of spice.
Oh.
It's kind of, you know, genteel.
Genteel, yeah.
So...
That was like a good almost half episode just on me and my turtle.
Yeah. So I can follow up the rest of the stuff. A few things that from previous shows and that sort of stuff that I thought...
We did a show on Andrew Tate a while ago, and that had like a lot of views or listens or whatever. It wasn't a video one back then.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was just a regular old podcast.
You've been following the Andrew Tate story?
Only...
I hasn't.
I have not really been following it, but I do see things occasionally. So... they just recently had their charges upgraded from individual counts of human trafficking to a thing of continued human or human trafficking continued.
Were they actually human trafficking?
They now have.
How do you find the time with all of his like cigar smoking?
They now have 7 victims.
So women have come forward.
Yeah, no, women haven't come forward. That they've tracked down. These women have been scared to come forward.
Really?
Yes.
See, here's the thing. there's different like comics and people and celebrities that like hung out with the Tates. A couple of them were on Joe Rogan and other podcasts, and some of them said, yeah, the women were really quiet when they would like hang out with them in Romania and go out for dinner, and like all the, you know, like the entourage would all go out together. Like, you know, all the women that lived in the Tates house would come out, and they were all they were really quiet, and I think even more quiet than usual than is for Eastern Europe. Like, where women are more respectful there, they're more demure, but it was more than just like quiet, respectful women. It was like they're probably afraid, maybe to get penalized later. Perhaps. I mean, it's hard to tell because, like, I wasn't there. You're hearing these second, third hand stories, but you hear enough of them, you kind of start to get like an imagining.
Bad feeling?
Not a bad feeling. Just you kind of start imagining, like, maybe it's possible.
You know, the thing is that you hear stories about, you know, things that happen at Epstein's Island. There's always all these young, beautiful girls there.
There was a guy that was talking about all the stuff that was going down that island like 10 years before it broke, and everyone thought he was crazy, but some dude tried to blow the whistle, and everyone's like, nah, that guy's crazy. And then it's like, oh,
there was girls who tried to speak up about it and were either bought off or sued into oblivion.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, because they just will sue you for with a civil liable slander. Blah, yeah. Blah. But this wild peppermint stout, this is quite nice.
It's not super pepperminty. The very first time I had their peppermint stout.
The McKinnon brothers are really good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. McKinnon. First time I had it was actually before they had opened.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. My brewing club did a bulk buy, and they hosted the bulk buy. Just sort of as a community
arrangement. What is a bulk buy with beer?
So it's not with beer. It's with brewing equipment. It's not even necessarily brewing things. So hobbyists clubs get together, and they will bulk buy things that are expensive to buy retail.
Oh, I see. So if you want like beer making equipment or jugs or
so
usable thing.
So basically you would order it directly from the manufacturer.
Hmm. But that means like a pallet or a truckload.
Yes, so that's why it's bulk buy. So you get enough guys together and you order a large shipment of whatever.
We want beer bottles.
So
okay,
at the time, yeah. we could order from a local malt distributor, well, Canadian malt distributor.
That's a really nice stout. I'm sorry, I interrupted you again. Look, McKinnon Brothers, well done.
Yep, and this is not one of the regular beers. They don't normally have this. This is a special.
Why does everyone do seasonal stouts? I feel like every nice local pour, local small brewery, it's like seasonal stout. Can you just do a stout all year that's really good?
Stouts are more expensive to brew.
They're nice, though. So nice.
And people want them more in the winter. The wild mint is probably because the wild mint is available to brew with. In the
yes.
spring.
Yep. Wild mint, lemon balm, all those herbs are coming up. We're very cultured and knowledgeable, despite our appearance that would suggest otherwise.
Cultured?
I'm cultured. I'm fancy. I went to the ballet in March, and then I went to a Tom Green comedy show. So, you know, I'm balanced. I am a balanced guy.
I'm like, redneck is a culture.
I don't know. I mean, like, is folk music redneck necessarily? I don't think so.
Folk music isn't redneck. But redneck is definitely culture.
Yeah, but it's not.
Trailer Park is a culture.
It's not.
Ghetto is a culture.
It's not high culture.
Oh, no, it's not high culture, but it's still culture. No one has no accent.
I think you're purposely disregarding the connotation of cultural being effort put in to perfect something, like an orchestra. Or a ballet, as opposed to, beating your kids at Walmart or whatever.
No, culture is the way a society behaves, good or bad. Culture has no moral. It's like civilized. Civilized, the term civilized is just there to go and look down on those poor rubes. When all rube means is farmer.
Is that what it really means, a rube? You rube.
Yes, it means a country folk.
I think that's because country folk used to not be well-educated, but now they are. Now,
city folk didn't used to be well-educated at that point either.
No, but I think city folk would kind of see more, you know what I mean? Like, you'd see more stuff going on, you'd see more different people, you'd have more interactions with more different people. And that is a learning experience.
It is, but...
They're more worldly.
The thing with being... When you say cultured, someone is uncultured or more cultured, it basically means I'm better than you. It's a form of snobbery.
No, I don't think so in the modern day, because it's not... Age is not that hard to get cultured. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Cultured is being aware of culture. It's being knowledgeable in today's world. If you are a cultured person, you know, you can equally enjoy going to the hockey game, or the ballet, or the orchestra, or like a rock concert, or a jazz show, or, you know, a Scottish pipe band with Highland dancers. You can appreciate culture.
The only people I hear use the term cultured are snobs.
Well, clearly, you're an uncultured rube who doesn't know many people who are cultured like me. I think it depends how you say it. I think if there's a bit of, it's like the word Jew. You know what I mean? If you put a little stink on it, it's like, oh, why did you say that? But if you know what I mean? If, like, please say the whole word, Grandma. Jew-ish? That guy, he's Jew-ish?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that just sort of a Jew? Is that like, you know...
That's your brother-in-law? He's Jew-ish?
Yeah. You know, he's not a non-practicing Jew. He's Jewish.
I've always found that funny. I've known a few Jews and Muslims who, like, practice the eating really strictly, the different rules. And I've known, like, but most of them don't care. What I actually find funny is a lot of people I've known my own age, or even a little bit younger than me, who are Muslim or Jewish, but their parents practice, they do it for their parents. But when they're, like, out with, like, their buddies, it's like, more bacon. It's true.
I have to admit that for the Jews and the Muslims, they had a hard burden put on them with the no pork thing because of bacon.
Bacon. Yeah, but there was no bacon 3,000 years ago.
Bacon must be a tool of Satan for them.
Yeah. Although I had one buddy who was like, his dad was from Jordan. And he didn't practice, my friend, but he grew up here. But like, he didn't like bacon because he never ate it growing up. So he tried it when he was, you know, I don't know, like 20 or something. He had tried like a cheeseburger. It was like, eh, with bacon on it, right? Bacon's the one food that seems to like span everything. It goes in salad. It goes on burgers and sandwiches. You have it for breakfast. You can have it with dinner. You wrap it around a fancy steak. You know, people put it in... What's the dessert thing they put bacon in? Little bits of bacon and like chocolate things to make it pop with the saltiness.
But donut toppings?
Donut toppings, yeah, yeah. Like, it goes on desserts and things. But yeah. Bacon seems to be the one food that nobody gets irksome about if it's in any food you have. It can literally be in any food. I don't know. It's kind of weird. There's like a meat that can go in anything. Is that weird? So back to the Tates, they've upgraded it to continued...
Well, it's basically human trafficking continued. Basically, it's the difference between individual charges of human trafficking, as in you participated. It's more like almost like a racketeering type charge.
Oh.
As in, you know, these are people who were not... They didn't just traffic a person. They had a human trafficking organization.
Oh, yeah. So
it was systematic. It wasn't just I accidentally trafficked this person.
Oh, like you met somewhere some girls and they came with you and it's like technically...
Well, human trafficking, basically, it's an interesting charge because it's one of these charges that...
Hard to quantify exactly, like...
When you hear it, you don't know what the heck it actually is. You think of someone being kidnapped and, you know, transported
right. In
a container and that sort of stuff.
Being sold to some Arab sheik for, yes, you know, $1 million.
That's what you picture.
You think of that movie. What's that movie with the guy, the Scottish guy?
But you don't picture some...
What's the Scottish guy one, the movie? Qui-Gon Jinn. What's his name? You know what his name is.
Yes. Yes, yes, I do.
Taken, the guy from the Taken movies.
Yeah, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. You think Liam Neeson killing everyone.
But most human trafficking is basically sleazy guys meeting underage girls, getting them hooked on drugs, and getting them to turn tricks to pay for their drug debts.
That's gross. So that's that. That's really what. So is that? But he has a lot of money though, doesn't he? Tate, because he had like a huge YouTube following.
Yeah, well, listen,
he's a four-time world kickboxing champion.
Getting them hooked on drugs and that sort of stuff is not.
Not necessarily part of it. I don't think there was any drug use, was there? Do the Romanians tolerate that kind of stuff? Eastern Europe can be a bit harder on that kind of stuff, I thought.
I was going to say, depends. But the issue is not so. It's so basically, you can human traffic. So you can traffic someone without actually having them
be against it. They could be like willing. Let's go here. Okay.
Well, not necessarily if there's undue coercion or undue power imbalance and that sort of stuff. And it might not even be for profit per se. Like Epstein was not. It was definitely trafficking those girls, but it wasn't because he was making money. He was not having people pay for having sex with them.
Well,
it was through influence.
Right, but influence is power. It equals money, and blah blah blah.
Yes, but it wasn't. But the thing is that in an individual case, you cannot directly say, "Oh, this was a black and white transaction."
The Epstein one seems weird, though.
He provided the girls to. He put them in the situation where they were expected to.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In the United States, in like, it was Atlantic City and a couple counties in Las Vegas, there's legalized government-regulated prostitution, and the girls get paid a lot, and they can choose, they have rights, and they work for themselves, and there's like, it's all like, the Stephen Fry, of all people, it was in one of his documentary series on America, and I kind of thought, well, wait a minute, if it's legal in America, and this guy was an American, Epstein, right, with his island, was he American?
Well, his island wasn't in the States.
Well, my point is that you could pretty easily...
But it wasn't prostitution.
No, but it doesn't... The thing is, though,
and
you could hire prostitutes to come and serve drinks, be friendly, be pretty.
No, the thing is, you could have done that. Except the expectation was that these girls who were underage...
That's where it gets gross, really gross.
Yes.
The first part was gross, if it was like, you know, prosies.
Yeah.
But if they're like underage, it's like,
So basically, it's like, let's put it this way: is that the difference with human trafficking and say legalized prostitution?
Right.
Is legalized prostitution
is adults who choose
the prostitute has to enter into a contract or right. choose to or basically profess themselves as a. Because you have to, there's taxes to be paid. There's all, business legalized. There's all this bookkeeping that has to be done.
Join the union.
And yeah, exactly. Unions.
Who's bringing Rice Krispie Squares to the annual prostitutes union meeting? Do you think prosies in America, the legal ones, eat Rice Krispie Squares?
Is there paid to? Someone's kink.
So what would you like? I want you to eat these Rice Krispie Squares.
So,
while I do stuff.
Someone has a feeder fetish.
Anyway, so basically,
I know way too much about fetishes for...
You know a lot more about the internet than I do. Like, if you ask me about a stand-up comedian or science fiction, it's like, bam, I'm right there. And if I ask you about anything else, you're like, the turtles underneath the glove box. So basically, I guess we can sum up this show that the Tates are a lot's being thrown at them.
Yes.
We'll see what happens with the trial. I don't want to make any rash judgments. I don't really know. And the thing is, I've always suspected part of this, and maybe they were doing stuff that was technically bad. I don't know. But I always kind of thought, if they're coming after them that hard, even kind of, because one of the arguments was they're already seizing like the supercars and property even before they'd really got anywhere with trial. And I almost wondered, like, did Andrew Tate like fool around with some powerful guy's wife or daughter? Like, you know what I mean? Like, did he tick off someone in Romania or Europe who like is a powerful person? It's like, you know what? Let's go after them as hard as we can for anything they may have done. Do you think there's someone after them? Do you think they ticked off someone?
Possibly.
What is that noise?
That is my air compressor.
Can you guys hear that? Richard has an air compressor. It's ruining the internet.
Yes.
Because this show is like almost all the internet.
Yep.
This is all the bandwidth.
Anyways, so.
Anyway.
No, my take on the Tates is, like, I didn't know who Andrew Tate was before I started in this podcast.
Yeah, I don't follow kickboxing.
I had run into the name on social media occasionally as
basically... He's a world champion kickboxer. I mean, he is...
But basically as someone who espouses this hyper-masculine alpha image, and that who is a hero
to the simps everywhere.
Yes, to the incel underbelly of the internet.
The incel underbelly of the internet.
So the thing is that when you can judge someone by their followers. This is actually something.
That's an interesting. Way of putting it.
This is something that I learned from my Catholic upbringing.
Yeah.
Is that if you want to know if someone is if someone claims to be a Catholic prophet and that sort of stuff, you know,
a Catholic prophet.
Yeah, or someone who claims to be a religious leader and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Look at how their followers behave.
Oh.
Because they may toe the line, but their followers will always go one step further and follow their philosophy to the logical conclusion. So I look at Trump followers.
The hardcore Trump followers
are mouth breeding.
Mouth breeding?
Yes,
mouth breeding.
Yes, mouth breeding.
Mouth breeding.
I'll let that stand. Mouth breathing idiots.
Mouth breeding idiots. The thing with the hardcore Trumpers, I find it's a little bit like the hardcore wokies, where they will not even consider there's another point of view, or that they are missing some of the information. Like their narrow point of view, whether you're right or left, whether you're a wokey or a Trumpy, on the very far fringe. You are completely obtuse to any of the opinions or facts of the middle. Whether they're still on the right side or left side, they're totally obtuse to them.
So, Trump's charges, the reason why they're not a misdemeanor is because Trump himself signed into law the Presidential Secrets Act to make it a felony to mishandle presidential secrets.
Oh, because he was getting thrown bullshit and shade at Obama.
No, it was actually at Clinton.
It was
Benghazi stuff.
I thought there was something about Obama about something right after he got in office. He was like throwing some shit at Obama something like that.
They've been throwing shit at Obama because Obama had some documents from when he was a senator in his garage. Now, mind you, as
state
a senator
or federal senator?
Doesn't matter because as a senator, there is no... Senator Secret Act and that sort of stuff. He owns those documents personally. Whereas, as soon as you are the President's Secrets Act, basically says as soon as you're no longer president, any document you have is no longer yours. It must be turned over at the moment.
Stop in the table, man.
It must be turned over at the moment you're no longer president. And.
But was it Trump's fault, or was it like his staff just boxed everything up?
No, these apparently were like his comfort blanket.
Oh, because
he carried he moved these boxes many times. He kept them in his bathroom.
That's weird. That sounds made up. But the thing is, like a guy like him.
Well, no, actually,
he's not carrying banker boxes.
No. It's not like
his staff must have done this.
Yes, but his staff have testified that if anyone adjusted anything in the boxes, he would know.
Oh, so he was really into these documents.
Yes,
because my first
these were his personal mementos.
Okay, because when I first heard about it, I kind of thought, oh, it's like a bunch of stuff got packed up by his staff, shipped to his place. He's like, yeah, I guess they're mine. I didn't really, like, it seemed a bit thin to me, you know what I mean? But
yeah, it sounds...
You hear the Miami story? After the arraignment, this is the story I read yesterday. After the arraignment, he's in Florida, Miami. He goes to some famous Cuban restaurant, does some big bombastic thing. There's some, I think, fighter who's a fan of his, like a UFC fighter. And it was like, oh, it's Trump. And they're like, oh, yay, Trump. He's like, all right, food for everyone, let's eat. And then he leaves, like, 10 minutes later, but didn't actually, like, pay or arrange for food to be served to people. Or coffees or anything. And so we were like, well, where's the foo? I thought there was...
No, it's that they just assumed he was going to pay their bills. Now, his supporters say, well, he never said he was going to... He said there was food for everyone. Which, in a restaurant, of course there's food for everyone. Not that he was going to pay for it. But then it's like, why say it if you're not going to pay for it?
Well, he wanted that bombastic moment and photo op, and then to leave.
Well, that's because he had just pled not guilty to charges. And the funny thing
he's rich, though. Like, he could easily just go, like, even if they said, oh, Mr. Trump covered the first round of drinks, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
The former president bought me a pint? That's very cool. Or, you know, a fancy Cuban coffee.
Yeah, no, he just had to bump up his ego after.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the show before, but it was Piers Morgan mentioned that, how, like, Trump, he's there at Trump's place in America, came over, and Trump wasn't going to do the interview, so he just, like, stroked his ego about his golf game, was like, oh, I heard you got a hole-in-one, that's amazing, and I want to talk about that. Okay, we'll do the interview.
Yeah.
Because, like, he didn't want to lose the interview, because if you come all the way from, like, London to, like, Florida.
What's really telling is that the people who are most against the charges against Trump.
Yep.
Have admitted that they have actually stated they will not even read the charges.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the Republicans who have read the charges go, ooh, this doesn't look good on Trump.
Yeah, I think he's kind of had his day in the sun.
He's still the front runner.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing because, like, DeSantis, you kind of think a guy, and some of DeSantis, the legislation. What bothers me about that is that there is the, like, you know, like the don't say gay stuff, which got blown proportion by the left in a stupid way. And then DeSantis defended saying it's only for up to third grade, chill out. But there's been amendments to the laws and the legislation, and it says, or whatever we see fit. There's these catch-alls in the legislation.
There is some weird stuff, which it's even if it isn't meant the way it is. Is that
it gives them the power to do whatever they want.
Yes. So basically, he has made sex crimes against children punishable by death. And then he declared.
I'm kind of okay with that,
though. No. That sounds good. That sounds. No one will disagree with that.
Just to be clear, we are on board with the death penalty for child rape.
I'm not.
You're not okay with the death penalty?
I don't like the death penalty.
For anything?
For anything. I can understand why people want it.
Okay, so you're on board understanding why the
prison. I think that it's better to chemically castrate them and let them rot in a prison for the rest of their lives so they have a chance to figure out what they did wrong and regret it for the rest of their lives. Hmm. I'm a lot more sadistic than someone who wants the death penalty.
Interesting. We went very dark, didn't we? It got very dark. As dark as McKinnon Brothers sounds.
Anyways. So basically, it's like, okay, that sounds good. However, he also made some of the stuff that the queers do. Sex crimes.
Stuff the queers do?
Like...
What is the stuff the queers do?
Drag hour for kids. Whether you agree with it or not, but that is now a sex crime in Florida.
Oh.
Which means that is technically punishable by death.
Oh.
So it's not that, you know, connecting the dots, whether this is intended or not, it is. So for someone who wants to be president, this is a very stupid move.
I think there has to be some attention, though. He has the same law degree as Obama from Harvard Law.
You know who else graduated from Harvard Law?
Donald Trump.
No.
1880. A different guy.
Okay. I don't know if it was law, but Harvard. George W. also graduated from Harvard.
Harvard Law?
No, not Harvard Law, but... So...
I'm sure he got
something. DeSantis is also the guy who was behind the enhanced interrogation techniques used at Gitmo.
The problem with some of that stuff is that, like, what you see in movies isn't what really happens in real life. It doesn't really
work. No, it's worse.
Yeah, but some of that doesn't actually really work.
Oh, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work, but they did it anyways.
I've seen a few of these... we're going wildly off topic. Well, not that we have a topic. But about CIA, ex-CIA guys. Basically, they got these guys, they say, you're for life. You're never getting out, but you got family over there wherever. We can help them. They can get money. We can even help them get...
I was going to say, but the enhanced interrogation techniques, which is... Waterboarding was one of them.
It doesn't really work because you stress someone to the point they say yes to anything.
Yes, like, oh, we got. But this is the sort of thing that. But DeSantis was one of the biggest cheerleaders and pushing for that type of thing. He's pro torture.
Yeah, it doesn't really work though.
No, it doesn't. I agree. But this is the sort of guy who DeSantis is.
And is he doing that for the pomp and circumstance and the attention?
Well, no, he wasn't doing it for them. It's because he truly believes it works.
That's weird.
Because he didn't get any pomp and circumstance, because he was just a crony at that point.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of a colorful character, DeSantis, but I think...
The more I look at him, the less I like him. No, mind you, he did declare war on Disney, which no one has ever... come out of that unscathed.
That's a deep dive, and I have some stuff on that. But Disney's made a few left turns in recent years. You kind of go.
Well, things. I not that I agree or disagree, but with I'm not a big fan of Disney.
In general,
corporately,
right?
But to make an enemy of the mouse in Florida,
love it. I love the balls. Like that's the best baller move. That is a state of ballers, and that's a baller move.
That is cutting off your nose to spite your face.
It's still a baller move.
Oh no, he thought he was smarter than Disney, and he's not.
Well, he's one man, and they're a huge, huge, huge corporation.
They have outmaneuvered him at every single point.
They have more lawyers than the Catholic Church. And on that note, it's time to end.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening, and have a great night. And we'll probably carry on with this conversation in about a minute in the next show.
Yes.
Which will be, sadly for you, available a week later. Right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And try McKinnon Brothers if you can, if you're in Ontario.
If you're in Ontario, give them through the LCBO.
Or the beer store, maybe? No, maybe.
LCBO.
And the CBO.
Yes.
What does that stand for?
Liquor Control Board of Ontario.
That's boring. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Got a wave, like 1978.
Ahem.
Is that rude now that the Queen's dead?
No. Because it honors her. It doesn't mock her. When she was alive, it was mocking.
To the greatest monarch ever of England.
Of our
queen
lifetime.
Of England ever. Queen Elizabeth II. Middle-aged man talk. Thank you so much for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Woof.